stop to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop. Hey guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress.
All right, welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. Greg Walden and I, Funko Pro Greg Walden. It has been a couple of weeks, and it took us that long to recover from the Super Bowl here because we're in Chiefs land, and we just, well, Travis Kelce, we partied so hard.
Oh, they did. I'm telling you, if the NFL if they're gathering around to make the rules, and the one rule they need to pass is Travis Kelce is forever barred from singing.
Yes, right. He got wasted.
He was
after the Super Bowl.
He was definitely not coherent.
Oh man, and then sadly the shooting and. Yeah. So it was a weird time there, but the Kansas City Chiefs are the champs, and they continue to move into the historical records. It's one of the top teams of all time, a dynasty, some might say.
I was actually reverse
psychology worked.
Yeah.
So now the goal is the three-peat. I mean, the moment they won that, Pat Mahomes is already talking about a three-peat, which would be amazing.
And they've already released the 2024 schedule, and it actually looks pretty favorable.
Yeah, so I mean, they'll have to do, you know, like many NFL teams, which I do like, is you have that salary cap, which is very hard to navigate and be successful. So you have Chris Jones that they're going to, will he command too much? Will they let him go? So they have varying pieces and parts that they're going to have to figure out, resign. Because the key is you can't sign too many players for too much money. Otherwise, you spread it too thin. Well, there's not enough money to go around. And
so we know Andy Reid's sticking around. We know Patrick Mahomes sticking around. We know Chris Jones. He did say he's sticking around. I mean, they pretty much let Demaryius Tony go, which is probably no big loss for them. But
the key components are there, as I tell my son: ownership, management, coaching, quarterback.
But the rumor is Eric Bieniemy might be coming back too.
That is not true because he just signed a contract to be the offensive coordinator of the UCLA Bruins. He is heading back to the college game. That was official via ESPN, other sports outlets.
That rumor, I guess, squash that rumor. But that would have been awesome if he came back because he's a really good coach.
I think he has learned he's not a head coach. I think he's kind of let that ship sail and just stay focused on being an OC and a productive OC.
He was awesome with the Chiefs, though.
The Chiefs, I mean, it's so hard to keep winning in the NFL because the better you get, then, like I tell my son's 10 years old. He's all into it. And I told him, I said, the secret sauce to a NFL franchise dynasty is that you have to get young players that are on a lower end contract and be really good.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you get good, then you got to, it's why Tyreek Hill left, right? And then as a player, you have the balance of, okay, I only have a limited amount of years to play in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on the position, we've got spoiled by Tom Brady playing for 20 years. Yeah. That is not common. The average lifespan is like 3 to 5 years, I think, or something like that. So those guys got to get their money. They basically have their rookie contract. And then they have one big contract to get, and that's it.
Well, Mahomes is still pretty young, so he's got plenty of years left in him.
Yeah, and then the balance becomes, and then the very far few is here. We make this argument for guys. We say, hey, well, they're just making all this big money. Pat Mahomes is fortunate in that he can take a little bit lower end contract. Why? State Farm.
Yeah.
What's all his commercial? Wendy's.
Yeah, he's making making coin on that.
I think he's with Under Armour. So those guys legitimately are going to make 30, 40, 50, maybe more million in those endorsements. But if a common player is going to make his salary, and that's it. So if it's the chance between, let's say, a lower end guy in the Chiefs, he's a free agent this year. The Bears are going to give him $10 million, and the Chiefs are going to give him $4 million. He's got to take the $10 million. Yeah. You got to take the $10 million.
And I think Kelce is going to stick around, too, which kind of helps him out.
All right, Chiefs talk. Trust me, before we know it, NFL talk will be blazing again already. But Modern Christian Dudes talking new sports and God. I always love to give a shout-out every once in a while to our listening audience. I go and check that out in the top five, the big top five of the MCD Nation, global, actually, United States, Canada, Australia, Germany, and Ireland. That's our top five right there. So United Kingdom, Kenya, France, Russia, South Korea, Colombia, India, Netherlands, Portugal, Japan, Qatar, New Zealand, Belgium, Romania, Costa Rica, South Africa, Hong Kong, Italy, Spain, Mexico, Norway, Fiji, Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, Iceland, Slovenia, Chinese, Djibouti, as always, Singapore, Lesotho, Montenegro, United Arab Emirates, Honduras, Turkey, Switzerland, Ethiopia, Pakistan, Hungary, Argentina, Dominican Republic, Malaysia, Zambia, all have dialed in at some point to the MCD Nation. We are grateful for that.
Now come on, Andorra. Get on the
board. Yeah. You know, we're in Southwest Missouri. A lot of people think that that would just be our only listening audience. And only of Missouri, so 94% listen, 94% of our listening audience is from the United States of America.
Yeah.
Because we're from the United States of America. And then 17% of that is from Missouri. Only 17% of that is from Missouri.
Wow.
So, you know, shout out to all the other people. Our second, it goes Missouri, then Virginia, dials in secondly.
Yeah.
In terms of the United States of America. So anyway, we just appreciate you guys. The sad stat I checked the other day. I do check on this one. Our gender. We are currently at 100% male listening audience and 0% female.
Well, I mean,
the podcast, it bounces around. Those analytics bounce around, but clearly
is modern Christian dudes, you know?
Yeah. But we, for a while, we're 50-50.
Yeah.
We were 50-50. And at one point, I think the women took the lead. So currently did we go on a misogynistic trend been talking Taylor Swift? Come on. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
All right. So shout out to you guys there. I'm going to start off with a story today. A dude talking news, boards of God. We talk tech news. And I'm going to have two tech notes today. But the first one, I'm an Elon guy, so that in turn, my love for Elon maybe skews myself to hate or to throw Jeff Bezos under the bus occasionally. And so it's probably not so much that I dislike Jeff Bezos, it's just that I love Elon Musk so much that then it makes me not like Jeff Bezos. Anyway, neither here nor there. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Bezos in the Amazon Kindle Fire, okay? Now, I do have an iPad Pro, which I use most extensively. I do have a Kindle Fire. I bought one just because I wanted to check it out and for our worship team to put our chord charts on there instead of paper, like music. We do all of our music on Kindle Fire. So shout out to Kindle Fire. So last week, you are, in terms of the net worth, higher than me. You know, you're just a lot richer than I am, Greg Walden. But anyway, the one advantage I do have on you is I have two cars and you don't, right? You just have the truck. Well, you and your wife, I have three cars and you have two.
Yeah,
so that's where I have one up on you. So
well, that's anyway. One less property tax and one less vehicle to tax and insure.
So I take my little Matrix in to get fixed, which means I'm driving the truck. So I go to the YMCA. I take my gym bag. I just throw it in the back of the truck, right? Well, I forgot about it, and then it rained like all night. We had rain. So I have the gym bag wide open, right? Oh, I had the gym bag wide open, unzipped. And on top of the gym bag is my Kindle Fire, which I happen to be using.
Man.
So it's for a good day. It's getting doused with water. You know, I'm like, oh man, I got that like on one of their clearance specials, you know, when they're hawking the Kindle Fires for like $70 or whatever. Sure enough, man, I let that sucker dry for a half hour, turned it right back on. I've never had any problems since. Awesome. How about that? And I had no cover on it. I had like my iPad Pro.
Does it advertise as a waterproof like IP?
No, this is like a cheap So how about that? So shout out to the Kindle Fire getting doused with water overnight for a day and then me pulling it out and realizing like, whoops, this sucker's toast. Because I have dropped my iPad Pro in the bathtub one time. Yeah, that was really bad. I dropped my phone in the bathtub one time, and it's all gone south in those scenarios. But here we go, the Kindle Fire. Hey, they make a good quality product.
Good plug for them.
Yeah, good plug for you guys. Yep. I don't mind the Kindle Fire. If you can't afford an iPad Pro, keep in mind my iPad Pro is for business-related endeavors. I would go with that first if I can afford it. But those Kindle Fires, you can get like the 11-inch Max now for like $175. They're pretty good deal. So
yeah,
if you're looking for a good tablet, I strongly recommend Jeff Bezos's Kindle Fire. So there you go, Jeff. Shout out to you, my friend.
He's probably celebrating right now. Like you actually gave him one. Little
whoa,
bit of
nice. That Jeremiah Johnson gave us a shout out. So, all right. Yeah. What do you got over there, my friend?
Well, in the streaming world of Disney Plus, The Star Wars, the Bad Batch season 3 kicked off last Wednesday.
I'm hearing good things about it.
It had a 3-episode drop. And I don't want to ruin the plot, but it does. There is a lot of things that tie in why Omega is actually important, and it goes into the future of Star Wars, of, you know, stuff that happens in the future. So they are kind of maybe retconning some things from the sequel, like episode 7, 8, 9, especially say episode 9. And so if you look up the actual opera in the Star Wars universe, is called Operation Necromancer, which Palpatine was running as a operation to basically become immortal, basically.
Okay.
So that's where all that ties into. So and also ties into why they were hunting down Grogu in The Mandalorian as well.
So The Bad Batch season 3 is the third and final season.
Yep. 16 episodes.
Of the Bad Batch.
Yep, it'll be 16 episodes.
In the epic final season of Star Wars, The Bad Batch, the Batch will have their limits tested in the fight to reunite with Omega as she faces challenges of her own inside a remote Imperial science lab with a group fractured and facing threats from all directions. They will have to seek out an unexpected ally, embark on dangerous missions, and muster everything that they have learned to free themselves from the Empire.
Yeah.
Description there. So is Omega going to make it into the movies, or I just saw a trailer. Was that a fake trailer or a real trailer for new Star Wars movie coming up?
Well, I think there's different rumors. There's one that they're going to be making episode 10.
Yeah. That's what I saw. Okay. Is that true?
Well, I don't
know. Was it a fake?
I don't know, but it's supposed to obviously center around Rey. Cause obviously she's going to be the main Jedi now that she's, you know, been established by the episode 7, 8, 9. So it's going to center around, I'm sure it's going to center around Rey. Maybe opening a new Jedi Academy or something like that, or teaching or something like that. But anyways, yeah, it's going to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing, I saw a bunch of movies on, or trailers on YouTube promoting Star Wars X release date. And I was trying to, because a lot of times you'll see these new trailers and then you watch the trailer and it's just clips of all the old movies, and you're like, wait, this is not a new trailer.
Well, they'll hint at something, and obviously there's no video clips for them to grab because the movie, there's no video release of it, you know, so they just tie in different parts of different movies to kind of make it look like, hey, it's, you know, that's what it's a pretty popular
Star Wars 10 latest news. It doesn't seem like I'm seeing anything around the Google search totally confirming that.
The problem is if they get the same the same people as 7, 8, 9, it's probably going to bomb. There's a lot of people that don't like the sequels. There's a lot of people that, because, well, one, you had J.J. Abrams, and especially Ryan Johnson, a lot of people didn't like the sequels.
So there's multiple Star Wars Episode X New Jedi Order trailers. Just can't see if they're real or not. You know what I mean? So. Well, that'll be interesting. I'm not the biggest of Star Wars guys, but I would definitely go see it for sure. So I was thinking about that the other day. I just haven't kicked back and went to the movie theater for quite a long time now, just because there just hasn't seemed to be any awesome movies coming out.
Yeah, it's Hollywood for the overall. I mean, Hollywood's kind of, you know, beyond the woke stuff that they push all the time, they really, and it's basically just constantly rebooting this, rebooting that. It's like, I think they've lost ideas. Like, they're fresh out of ideas.
I mean, Sonic 4 is coming out in December of this year, which my boys were stoked about, which I think all the Sonic movies have been pretty good so far, but yeah.
I like the Star Wars. I think the Bad Batch is probably one of the best series they have on Disney Plus as far as the Star Wars universe is.
Awesome. All right. Anything else there?
Well, there is a new researchers make a new breakthrough with low cost material that could outperform lithium ion batteries and can charge much faster.
Okay,
can you think? I mean, this is something you use every day. Most people use every day in the morning.
Toothbrush,
coffee. Yeah,
can be.
Yep, they discovered that researchers from Kazakhstan and South Korea have discovered how to incorporate coffee grounds into sodium ion batteries, which charge much faster, and lithium ion packs are made from a more abundant and less expensive material, as detailed by Powder Bulk Solids. So, yeah, that could, your coffee could now be charging your phones and everything else.
Hmm.
That's kind of is a potential. Obviously it's a, you know, obviously the, you know, what they first find and what gets to market might be different, but it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting technological news there.
Cool. Yeah. Tech news. I'm kind of on a tech kick today, I guess, if you will, but I found this out. Oh, if it'll open on me. This article, you can find it in different places, but Elon Musk had a new video come out on X of his robot. You just left me there. Come on now. The new robot, humanoid robot that Elon Musk has, put a video on X of it walking around the warehouse there, and people are getting hyped up about that. So my thought, you know, here's where you have to kind of decipher is a lot of people are like, oh, robots are going to take over the world. Robots are obviously have been used, are being used, and will continue to be used. But there's the difference between a robot and a humanoid robot. You know what I mean? So robots are very common for all types of uses. Right. Specifically, Elon Musk in his warehouse, the robots are like, I have a friend who went one time to Reno to the Tesla warehouse there and said, you know, it's filled with robots, but they're kind of single operational type robots, and they do one thing. They have one job, one duty. They don't do a billion things. So this robot picks up a car and moves it. That's all that robot does, and et cetera. But so, but then there's the difference between an actual humanoid robot. And we're, I don't know, I still keep watching a lot of videos or here and there on humanoid type robots. And even this video is like, yeah, you're still a long ways away.
Yep.
From replacing us. Like,
I think AI, if anybody's going to be paranoid, I think AI will be, will give you more reason to be paranoid.
Absolutely.
Than robots will be.
Yeah. Then humanoid absolutely. So humanoid robots just don't seem, cause we think of that old Will Smith movie, you know, kind of like different movies like that. We see these like humanoid type robots, but yeah, anyway, I think that'll be a big thing. And then also, you know, I got the, on the tech line, tech news lines, I got the Oculus 3 goggles, and then now the last month, the GoPro, but the Apple Vision Pro goggles have come out, and that's making the rounds and all those kind of stuff. So all this technology, you know, it's always amazing. Technology is advancing fast but slow at the same time. That's kind of my perception.
Well, it's funny is I went to my daughter's the Sunday before last, because my granddaughter had a sixth birthday party, so we went there and have a birthday party for her. My youngest daughter was up there, and she had a pair of those. Was not one of the things, the big expense. I think they're like $250 goggles, that, you know, virtual reality goggles. And I played with it, and there was like a, the Star Wars one. We had the two lightsabers, and you're basically, you know, using.
Oh yeah.
So yep. That was pretty neat.
That was on what?
I can't
VR.
Remember. Yeah, it was VR. I can't remember what the. I think it's like a $250 one you got at Walmart or something like that. But
okay.
But it was, yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, VR is, like I said, I'm still playing around with that a little bit. Yeah, it's cool, but a lot of this stuff just isn't there yet. Bad news, you know, Neuralink. I think sad news for Joe Biden is Neuralink is going to be totally dialed in by the time he really needs it to bring him back. All that to say,
supposedly the first there is a human patient of Neuralink right now, and supposedly he's actually they actually had the implant and. So they're doing the test with him and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Not for me.
Let's make that the presidential challenge. We'll give since that's such a hot but not topic on both left and right, they're both basically trying to say that Trump and Biden are both super senile. They're both making that argument. So we could have a contest. We'll give both of them Neuralink, implant Neuralink into a former president.
Yeah,
Trump, and then Joe Biden, and then see which one does better in the debate. That'd be kind of a fun kind of experiment. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. The Trump train is heading down the track though. This last weekend, he's getting there. So we're all signs heading towards Trump versus Biden this upcoming year.
In the political realm, Nikki Haley, which I think she's a Democrat plant, but that's just me. she is vowing to stay in the race, even though she's getting swamped.
Right.
Well, they actually rumors think she's
going to believe.
Well, think she's going to run as an independent, which obviously the only purpose of her running as an independent, she's not going to win, is to leech Trump votes away and get
right.
Democrat, whoever it is, elected. So she's a plant. Sorry.
That's my opinion. Hey, man, there's to me, in my, again, just a completely neutral opinion, that Trump train is running down the track, and it's not stopping. Whether that means he'll win the presidency or not, but
well, I think in terms of the RNC, I think he'll win. I think barring any crazy stuff, he'll win the GOP nomination.
Oh yeah,
again, like I easily. Said, like I said, now whether he actually wins the election depends on how Nikki Haley's able to leech votes away from him.
Yep.
She's not very popular. I mean, most people, you know, most people see who she really is, but yeah, you know, who knows? We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into some spiritual talk for a few minutes, guys, before we let you go and keep living the life. I have been preaching through the book of Philippians. I've really enjoyed it. Philippians is an easy book to read. If you struggle reading the Bible, or like, oh man, I don't like to read. Philippians is a good one. It's not like Leviticus or Numbers or something where you're going through the drudgery of something that doesn't seem that enjoyable. But Philippians is a great, encouraging book. And I was just reading through, preaching through, let's see, Philippians chapter 3. But you know, I want to give you a challenge today, guys, and for all of us ladies, if any ladies are going to listen anymore. But, you know, that idea of just, Paul always had this mindset of continuation and growth. For example, I'm not going to hop on this per se, but, you know, in Philippians 3, he kept using the word to rejoice. You know, rejoice is, you know, do it again, you know, that the Christian life is not a stagnant type of thing. It's where we should be elevating. We should be growing, moving forward, etc. And so last night, for a moment, I talked about, you know, the simple encouragement of keep growing, right? And we never should get in a place where we think we know it all and like we've accomplished it. And Paul was addressing that in Philippians 3 in terms of, in Philippians 3, he's like, watch out for those dogs, those mutilators of the flesh. He's basically talking about like these Jewish people that were religious and they thought, you know, they had, I follow the law and I've got my spiritual life all together. And Paul's like, hey, if anyone could brag about confidence in the flesh, I have more. He was kind of on that tangent. But then he's encouraging, like, I'm pressing forward. So keep growing. And then I brought up this idea of think of yourself as a tree, that we should think of ourselves as a tree. And I try to use this illustration in the context of where we're living in Southwest Missouri. We have this place where it's the maple leaf. We have this maple leaf festival. We have a lot of maple leaf trees here. And Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees.
Yeah.
Planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season, their leaves never wither and prosper in all they do. So even the Bible's like, hey, you should be like a tree. You know, think of yourself as a tree. And so then I kind of did a deep dive just in the practicality of like maple trees and where we're at. And so I won't bore you, but there's all kinds of different maple trees or maple leaf trees, like Japanese maple, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But I, you know, in my Google researching, basically, a maple leaf tree will take somewhere between 20 to 50 years to gain its full height, right?
Yep.
So each year, it's gaining 12 inches, 15, maybe 18. Some grow faster or slower than the others, which is normal. And so, you know, the goal is that tree is going to take time to keep growing. You don't, you know, it's like my wife, when we first moved out to the property I have now, there's no trees except for one ugly one in the back of my property. And, you know, one year she got these little twigs from like the forestry.org or whatever. Have you seen those before? It's essentially like a little twig you plant in the ground. It's like 6 inches tall. And she's like planting those in the hopes of like 3 years. They're going to be like a full, like, Rachel, that's not how it works. Okay. We're going to have to live here for 30 years.
Yeah. Your grandkids actually might be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, we're talking like retirement, okay? 30 years, when we retire, it should be a full tree. So, you know, that's the thing is like sometimes in our spiritual life, we expect to grow super fast. And really the journey of our faith should be like a tree and where we're growing little by little by little so that when we would get to the end of our journey of faith, we should become this great tree. And I use an example, this isn't a maple tree, but my dad, now when I drive home to Nebraska, I will drive by my home, the house where I grew up in. And you've been to my, did you go to my hometown? Lyons, Nebraska. Yeah, so anyway, but my dad planted like this isn't a maple tree, but it was a pine tree that he got from Rapid City, South Dakota when I was a kid. And that sucker was a foot tall when I grew. Now, as a 40 plus year old man, it's like, they are massive. Yeah. Like they're overtaking the house and the yard, you know, and they're like 40, you know, that's what our spiritual life is supposed to be like. We're supposed to be growing and growing and growing. And, you know, the thing that I've found interesting about the maple trees too, is that the average lifespan of a maple tree is like 80 to 100 years. And that's like our life, you know? Yeah. So we're like, we live 80 to 100 years roughly as humans on this earth. Some may read 200 years, whatever it might be. So my encouragement to you guys today is think of yourself as a tree and in your spiritual journey that you keep growing. And obviously if you're going to keep growing, that you then would be planted by the river, which is the presence of God, and that you're constantly adding the additive of the things of God in your life on a regular basis. And that, you know, it's not all at one shot or in one day or one year, but it's the consistency of seeking God, following God, being in his presence that you begin. And what does a tree do? It ultimately, it's supposed to grow and produce fruit, you know, like our, and I'll turn it over here in a second, but like our community, I kind of pitched this thought to our church. Imagine all the trees right now, the trees are just like, I was at a friend's house the other day having lunch and he has a lily tree and it's just starting to blossom. And I'm telling you, a week from now, that sucker's going to be boom. But I was like, imagine in this where we have all the, like thousands of maple trees. Imagine if they just stayed dead all year long.
Right.
How ugly would that be? You know, if they lay literally.
They would, yeah, just they would eventually chop them all down and burn them.
Tall dead trees. No, you're supposed to blossom and produce. So today, modern Christian Jews, I want you to think of yourself as a tree and the process of your spiritual journey. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to keep growing, you know, inch by inch by inch by inch by inch, so that you become, you know, when you get to the end of this life, you are this beautiful, now tall, mature maple tree that is produced for God's kingdom.
Well, I mean, let's when you get saved, what is God's ultimate goal for each person that gets saved? I mean, the ultimate goal is to make you like Jesus. I mean, God wants you to be like Jesus. Problem is, when you get saved, there's so much junk. That you obviously you got a lot of junk, because you obviously before you get saved you're a sinner, you're involved in this junk, you have this addiction, you're involved, your mindset's this way. I mean, there's a lot of junk that God's got to get out of your life, and as you grow, God deals with you. Hey, you know you read the word, you're getting discipled by your church and by your everybody has like your believers, your good friends are believers. The person that led you to Jesus, obviously should be the one discipling you.
Yeah.
And so as you're growing, God's dealing with you. Hey, this, we got to get this, we got to work. You know, you want more of Jesus. So you're getting away from the world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. So your whole, I mean, that's what it's called sanctification. Your whole life after from salvation to you go home with Jesus is a process of sanctification. It's Amen. Basically making you more like Jesus, getting the world out of you and getting more of Jesus in you. So obviously that process can be different for everybody. Some people seem like they get saved and boom, boom, boom. They're just like, man. But then some people take 10 years, like, because there's that flesh, that stubborn flesh that wants to, the flesh wants its way. I mean, you're still fighting that flesh. Yep. And just because you get saved doesn't mean, hey, I'm Superman. No, you're still fighting that flesh. That flesh, sinful flesh is still trying to say, I want my way. I want this. I want my way. And it is something, you know, then you go through, obviously, then also you go through the trials of life. Everybody has ups and downs. And that's why it's like people think, well, I should be a Christian, that I should never have a bad problem ever again.
Yeah,
everything should be roses and nice, cool breeze. That's not if that's the Jesus you're following the wrong Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus says there will be.
It should always be perfect and lining up all the time.
That's not what Jesus tells you. Jesus says in this life you will have troubles. In this life you'll have persecution. People are going to hate you. I mean, but Jesus promises that Jesus doesn't promise that you'll never have problems, but Jesus promises that he'll be there. He'll be there.
Yeah,
that you won't go through those alone. He'll be there, and as you know, I have 30 or whatever years of being saved. I haven't been long as I'm saved for a while. I've had to go through it. I mean, I've had flesh issues I've had to deal with. That had to get, you know, it took many years to get out of my life because I had issues before I got saved. I was exposed to things before I got saved. A lot of spiritual issues I had before I got saved. Mm-hmm. And some things I was really quick on, but some things God had really years and years to deal with me to get me over those humps.
Yeah.
And in life, I mean, I've had high moments in life and I had to go through the low moments in life. But you know, one thing I can tell you is that God's always been there. Mm. He's never, even though I might have felt like he might, obviously we think, well, God's not here. And you know, sometimes you go that, oh, God's not, he's no, but you realize, no, God was there. I just like, yeah. I took my eyes off, just like Peter took his eyes off Jesus when he was walking on water. He took his eyes off Jesus and sank. But Jesus was always there.
Yep.
So it's like my encouragement to, you know, is that, you know, we have people, you know, yesterday was awesome. I said, yesterday, I told him, I said, this is church. I said, we had church yesterday, guys.
We did have church yesterday. Yeah.
I said, that was church. I mean, serious, that was church, brother. Yeah. That was church, man. You see people getting prayed for. You see people getting delivered. You see people getting out of addictions. I mean, that's church, man.
Amen.
That is church. I mean, that should excite you right there. And, you know, and you see people that you know, you deliver from smoking and drinking, and it's like, it's awesome. But my advice is, guys, you know, you get delivered from something. I've been delivered from things, too. That first 3 weeks, man, you think the devil's not going to mess with you?
Amen.
I said, you may think after a week or two, you're like, yeah, and the devil's going to hit you. I said, you got my advice, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Because every time you have a victory, he's right there ready to slap you.
Yep.
You got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah, and I'll conclude with this is my encouragement is to keep the focus on the knowing and not on the religious works of our faith. And that's what Paul was saying in Philippians 3. I'll just read it. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He's talking about my religious works that I had. I count them as garbage.
Yeah.
And he says in verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become more one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become more righteous through faith in Christ. And so he's not saying, you know, it's not that we're not supposed to obey God. It's not, we're not supposed to produce. We're not supposed to do religious works. But he said, you know, that doesn't matter if my life ambition isn't to know him more. And out of my desire to know him more, that other stuff takes care of itself. You know, my goodness, my desire to do good, to be a, you know, religious works. And, you know, that comes out of the knowing, not vice versa or the opposite.
Well, like the Pharisees, they're basically saying in a lot of religions today basically say works, works, works.
Yeah. But
works doesn't save you.
Yep.
Works does not save you. Works does not keep you safe. Works is a product of your salvation, faith and salvation. I mean, faith is, I mean, obviously you're saved by faith.
Yep.
You're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. Now that faith, which produces salvation, works comes out of that, but it's not what, it's a fruit, not a means of salvation. It's a fruit of.
Amen. Well, guys, it's a journey, man. Every day, over and over again. But man, be a tree. You know, think of yourself as a tree, your spiritual journey, that you're growing in the Lord. And again, just make your desire, your core desire to know him more. That when you wake up in the morning, it's not like, okay, how can I make it? God, I want to know you more. And then, you know, I believe that's the better way.
And the rest of eternity, you'll be learning more about, you'll never know everything about God. It'll be a million years from now in heaven, you'll still be learning about God.
All right, guys, Modern Christian Dudes, Dude Soccer News, Sports and God. Talk to you guys next time.